Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will offer an update on the case of Nancy Guthrie. First, I'll look at a brief background of the case, move to an updated timeline of the crime, then offer an updated analysis. Nancy Guthrie is the mother of the NBC Today Show co-anchor Savannah Guthrie. In 2026, she lived alone in a 3,100-square-foot house on North Camino Escalante in Tucson, Arizona. This is in an upscale community. 84-year-old Nancy has serious medical problems which require daily medication. This is necessary for her survival. Her mobility is quite limited. She is only able to walk about 150 feet. Despite these physical health problems, Nancy is sharp as far as her cognitive abilities. She does not have any cognitive impairment. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Sunday, February 1, 2026, at 12:03 p.m., family members of Nancy Guthrie called 911 and reported her missing after she failed to show up at a morning church service. Here is what the police found during the course of their investigation. One day earlier, on Saturday, January 31, 2026, at 5:32 p.m., Nancy took an Uber to the home of her daughter, Annie. She ate dinner and played games with Annie and her son-in-law. Her son-in-law dropped her off at her house at 9:48 p.m. The authorities knew this because the garage door opened at this time. The door closed 2 minutes later at 9:50 p.m. Presumably, Nancy went to bed not long after this. It would be pretty unlikely for her to have additional social engagements this late at night. At 1:47 a.m., now on Sunday, February 1, 2026, the doorbell camera mounted by her front door was disconnected. The authorities have never found this camera. Several drops of Nancy's blood were found outside her house, right near the front door, not far from where that doorbell camera had been mounted. At 2:12 a.m., software detected a person on camera. No video is currently available because Nancy did not have a subscription. Presumably, this detection did not occur on the camera that was missing, which implies that there were multiple cameras at the house. At 2:28 a.m., a pacemaker app on Nancy's phone indicated that the pacemaker lost connection with the phone. One reason for this would be Nancy leaving the area, moving too far away for the connection to be maintained. Nancy's motor vehicle was parked at her house, and inside her house, the police found her phone, her Apple Watch, and her wallet. On Monday, February 2, 2026, the search and rescue shifted to a criminal investigation. The authorities believe that Nancy was taken out of her house against her will. At the time I am making this video, the police say they have no suspect, not even a person of interest, but no one has been ruled out. They cannot confirm the rumors that any cameras were smashed or destroyed in or around Nancy's house. Also, they cannot confirm the reports that there was forced entry into her house. The authorities are aware of a ransom letter which was sent to TMZ and KOLD on Tuesday, February 3, 2026. This letter demanded that millions of dollars in Bitcoin be sent to a specific cryptocurrency address, which was verified as real. That doesn't mean the ransom letter is real, just that a legitimate address was used. TMZ said the note mentioned what Nancy was wearing and talked about damage to the house. Whoever wrote the letter implied that they had inside information. Only the kidnapper could know. There has been no communication with the kidnapper and no proof of life has been transmitted. The ransom note established two deadlines. The first is 5 p.m. on Thursday, February 5, 2026. If that deadline is missed, the demand would change. The next deadline would be Monday, February 9, 2026. Missing this deadline would have a much more serious consequence. Other ransom notes have been received as well. One of them talked about an Apple Watch and another about a floodlight. The legitimacy of any of the ransom notes has not been established. At least one ransom note has been confirmed as a fraud. The authorities arrested a 42-year-old resident of Hawthorne, California, named Derek Kalala. He was charged with transmitting a ransom demand related to a kidnapped person and anonymous interstate communications intended to harass or threaten. Derek allegedly sent a ransom demand to a TV station in Tucson, Arizona, demanding payment in Bitcoin. He also allegedly sent text messages to Nancy's daughter, Annie, and her son-in-law. The authorities tracked the email account to Derek's own house. If he is guilty, it doesn't appear as though he is a master criminal. With the status of the other ransom notes being unknown, it is up to Nancy's family members to decide what to do about them. Clearly, they must believe there is a chance that at least one of the notes is real. On Wednesday, February 4, 2026, Savannah Guthrie and her siblings released a video on Savannah's Instagram account. During the first part of the video, they talked about how special Nancy was and how her health was fragile. Later in the video, Savannah issued a message that seemed to be directed at the kidnapper. Presumably, she was specifically speaking to the person who sent the ransom note to TMZ, because the deadline for that demand was the next day. Referring to Nancy, Savannah said, quote, "We need to know, without a doubt, that she is alive and that you have her. We want to hear from you, and we are ready to listen. Please reach out to us," unquote. On the next day, Savannah's brother was featured in another video posted on Savannah's Instagram account, which had a similar message. He was asking for the kidnapper to contact the family members. "At the time I am making this video, the first deadline has passed. There has been no report of a ransom being paid or any other information on that topic. The second, more serious deadline approaches." Now moving to my analysis. The disappearance of Nancy Guthrie continues to be a very mysterious case. The police keep saying that she was kidnapped. However, technically, they have not confirmed that Nancy was kidnapped. Furthermore, they cannot even identify a person of interest, much less a suspect. In my first video about this case, I talked about the three primary theories about what happened to Nancy Guthrie. Theory number one is that Nancy was kidnapped. Theory number two is that Nancy wandered away from her house, despite her mobility issues. And theory number three is that she ran away to start a new life. That one seems pretty unlikely. I believe that the kidnapping theory was by far the most likely, even though the second theory, wandering away from home, is a much more common explanation for this type of situation. Since my original video, the police have made some statements that strengthen the kidnapping theory and others that weaken it a little bit. For example, the police originally revealed that the front doorbell camera was missing. They later added that they have not recovered the camera. This supports the kidnapping theory. Why would Nancy take her own doorbell camera if she was wandering off during some type of medical episode? As far as the updates that weaken the kidnapping theory, the police refused to confirm the forced entry element, which was widely reported to the media. If someone had forced entry, that would strongly support kidnapping. With no forced entry, it leaves a lot of questions. How did the person manage to kidnap Nancy? Also, originally, there was talk about a blood trail from the front door to the driveway. Later, it was revealed that several drops were by the front door. No trail of blood is visible. These updates have not changed my mind about the kidnapping theory, but I expected this theory to have a lot more support by now. Like, the more evidence that was collected, the clearer the picture would become. Instead, the situation is still quite murky. The police have not mentioned any vehicle being captured on neighbors' cameras. They don't have a description of the perpetrator. They don't know how many perpetrators are involved. As far as the software detecting a person, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It could have happened even if Nancy wandered off by herself. No perpetrator is required for that. There has been a lot of discussion about the ransom note situation, but not very much has been established about these notes. One of the ransom notes was definitely a fraud, and there's been no report about proof of life being offered in relation to the other notes. The note that was sent to TMZ and KOLD is clearly the primary focus as far as the ransom notes. It has established itself as the leading ransom note in this case, the one that has the highest probability of being legitimate. Even so, there are many reasons to doubt its legitimacy. For example, the note did not arrive until 2 days after the kidnapping. Considering Nancy's fragile health status, why would the kidnapper wait? Time is not on their side. No proof of life was sent with the note. Whatever secret or inside information the kidnapper provided to prove that he was holding Nancy did not appear to be overwhelmingly convincing to family members or to the authorities. Again, Savannah implied that it was easy to fake evidence in the digital age. Why didn't the kidnapper supply clear and indisputable proof that he was in fact a perpetrator? If he was really holding Nancy, it would be pretty easy to do. There has been no communication between the kidnapper and Nancy's family members, at least none has been reported. In her video, Savannah essentially asked the kidnapper to contact her. Later, her brother did the same thing. Shouldn't the kidnapper know that contact is important in order to have any chance of getting paid? If the objective from the beginning was to collect a ransom, the choice of target is peculiar. Nancy is the daughter of a celebrity, but why kidnap someone who has severe health problems? There are many people in the world who live alone and who are related to a celebrity. It's not like there is a shortage of targets. It's possible the kidnapper thought that Nancy would be easier to control based on her age, but that doesn't outweigh the potential pitfalls of kidnapping an elderly victim. In addition to all these factors calling the credibility of the ransom notes into question, it's important to consider the statistical rarity of kidnapping for ransom. This type of crime is exceedingly rare in modern criminal investigations. Less than 1% of all kidnappings are for ransom. For the most part, this is something that only exists in movies. The strange factors surrounding the ransom note lead to two possible conclusions. The person who wrote the ransom note is a dangerously incompetent kidnapper who has no idea what he is doing. This only makes the situation more concerning. Or he is not the kidnapper, just a fraudster trying to use this tragic, high-profile case to unlawfully obtain money. In my opinion, the second conclusion is more consistent with the available evidence. I believe that the reason Savannah and her siblings made the video is because they wanted to act out of an abundance of caution. They were probably advised by the authorities that the ransom note was not credible, but maybe it seemed reckless to them just to ignore it entirely. What harm could come from trying to engage the person who wrote the note? Maybe this is actually the kidnapper. If the ransom notes are unconnected to the actual kidnapping, this brings me back to the problem of motive. This kidnapping doesn't make any sense. It was not smart financially. It was very high risk. Why would anybody target an elderly woman who lived in an upscale neighborhood and who was related to a celebrity? The kidnapper must have known that the law enforcement response would be overwhelming and never-ending. If a business-minded professional kidnapper, like in the movies, really does have Nancy, she would be better off because he may release her upon collecting the ransom. If a disorganized and incompetent perpetrator has Nancy, the likelihood of a positive outcome decreases dramatically. Those are my thoughts on the case of Nancy Guthrie. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. Whenever there is a high-profile case in the media, especially one that involves a celebrity, even tangentially, the media behaves in a way that is shameless. This case is no exception. We see all types of media reports that are sensationalized, talking about potential suspects who the authorities have never named. It seems like they're just making things up, randomly suggesting that certain people could be involved in this kidnapping, if it was actually a kidnapping. It makes me wonder what the value of those posts are. Why do people do this? I think it's just to make money. They want to capitalize on the tragedy without actually adding any meaningful analysis to the discussion. They grab on to a fact and distort it, or they just make things up. They know that they won't be held accountable for this. They can just make another video and people forget the video they made before. It's pretty disturbing how prevalent that particular strategy is. Again, specifically in cases where there's some type of celebrity angle. I think that sometimes these people forget that Nancy Guthrie is a human being. I don't know if she was kidnapped or not, but she is definitely missing one way or the other. This is a serious situation. What would be a better strategy, rather than making things up and throwing wild accusations, would be to present the facts that are known and offer some type of well-thought-out analysis, something that can contribute to people's understanding of the case and to lead to people thinking more about it and analyzing it on their own. Just having all this salacious nonsense out there does nobody any good, except for the creators that make it. They're making money, so I guess they benefit. But no one else benefits. And that is a disturbing and destructive pattern that emerges all too often.